In your Bibles, you can turn to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. As we look this evening at the Song of Love, we have looked over the last month of Advent. We've looked at the Song of Trust, the Song of Faith, the Song of Peace, and the Song of Hope. And this evening, we're going to look at the Song of Love. And so I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let us pray. Father, we rejoice in your Son, Jesus Christ. We rejoice in your love towards us. And so, Father, as we hear your word this evening, may you make that love real through your Spirit in our hearts, that, Father, that we might worship you. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Whenever you read the Christmas story, especially about the birth of Jesus Christ from Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, a lot of singing is going on. Mary, the mother of Jesus, broke out in song to praise God for scattering the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, for bringing down the mighty from their thrones and exalting those of humble estate, of remembering his mercy as he spoke to his people through his word. Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, he broke out in song, blessing the Lord God of Israel for visiting his people and redeeming them by raising up from the house of David salvation in the person of Jesus Christ, who was born on Christmas Day, who will give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, who will guide our feet in the way of peace. The angels of God broke out in song for the good news that one of their own proclaimed to the shepherds, that unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then a multitude of the heavenly choir appeared, and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, among with whom he is pleased." And then a man named Simeon broke out in song when he beheld the Christ child in the temple. He sang, "Lord, now you're letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." All of these people and the angels were able to break out in song because of that song that God himself first sang. A song of love directed towards sinful and lost humanity. A song about a Savior where God himself puts on flesh and came among us to take the penalty of our sin and in our rebellion and hatred towards him. He took it upon himself so that we, through his love shown to us in the person of Jesus Christ, might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Christmas is our celebration. Today is our celebration, and tomorrow is our celebration of the first part of that love song that God has sang, where Christ put on flesh and dwelt among us. When he was born as a humble child in a humble town in a humble region of the world. And so Christmas is the beginning of God's song of love towards us. Now, why did God love us so to send his only Son? And what did he do to demonstrate that love? Well, the Bible tells us, as we look at our passage here in 1 John chapter 4, the Bible tells us right here in verse 8, right before those two verses, it says at the end of verse 8, it says that God is love. God is love. This is the nature and character of who God is, that he is love. This is his very being, that he is love. And it says here that God is love, not love is God. This is a very important distinction. You see, if love was God, then that would make love an impersonal thing, and it would allow any person to bend and mold and shape love to their whim and fancy. Which in reality is the problem with us in the first place, isn't it? That we take that which is from God and we shape it to make it like man. We make love whatever we want to be, not what it actually is. So the truth that God is love is good news for sinful and lost humanity. It is good news because love is the very nature of who God is and what he is doing in his creation. And on the first Christmas day over 2,000 years ago, God demonstrated his love towards sinners. So that is to every person, because every one of us is a sinner. We all fall short of the glory of God. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. This is what the angel announced, right, to the shepherds. They announced over 2,000 years ago, and God's word announces it to us today, for us today, that for unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In 1 John chapter 4 here, verses 9 through 10, this is the Apostle John's version of that proclamation of the angel. And so let me read that again for you. He says, in this is love, is the love of God made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There are two overarching truths that I'd like to share with us this evening that are found in these verses about God's love towards sinners. First, the truth that God is love, and he demonstrated his love by sending his son Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins that we might live through him. That's what these two verses together tell us. But also the second thing they tell us this thing. They say that in this is love, that not that we first loved God, but that God first loved us, then so that we could love him and love others. Let me take that second truth first, that God first loved us. No relationship with God is based on the fact that someone first loved God. It's just not possible. Rather, it's based on the fact that God first loved us. God loved us before we even thought about loving him. That's what the scripture here says, that in this is love, not that we have loved God. You see, we could not. We could not love God. We were in rebellion against him. We, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, every person is dead in their sins. We're the children, are the children of disobedience, and by nature they are children of wrath, whom do not honor God, do not give thanks to God, do not worship him, but rather what they have done, they have changed the glory of the immortal God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator. So God demonstrated his love towards us because of the fact that we were dead in our sins and trespasses and there was nothing we could do about our condition. He demonstrated his love towards us that even before we thought about loving him, he did this, verse 10 tells us, by sending his son Jesus Christ as an appeasement for our sin. The verse there uses the word propitiation, that Jesus Christ came as a propitiation for our sins. Now, the word propitiation is a fancy word and a difficult word to say if you're not careful. It's a fancy word that means appeasement. And yet, it's more than just appeasement. In the context of the passage here and in the thrust of the Bible as a whole concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, this word propitiation means that the death of Christ on the cross fully satisfied the righteous demands of a just and holy God towards the sinner. You see, God is righteous, he is holy, and he is just, and he is love. And those things aren't in contradiction. God is perfect in all his attributes, and so they don't contradict one another. And because he is righteous and holy and love, that he had to satisfy his righteousness against sin. And because he was love, he decided that he would do it by sending his son, Jesus Christ, into the world. You see, we're not righteous. And so God had to meet for us the demands of his holiness and his justice, which he did through the person and work of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, who took our sin upon him, who suffered the just wrath of a righteous God, and he died, was buried, and rose again. And so because we see this truth here in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, that God is love, that because God is love, he took it upon himself to cover over a multitude of sins for those who believe. And God's love in Jesus Christ does cover all our sins for those who believe in him. All our sins in the past, in the present, in the future, that God has covered over our sin through sending himself in the person of Jesus Christ. He became a propitiation and an appeasement for our sins. In Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 25 tells us that Jesus Christ is whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. And so that's how we receive this gift that God has given us over 2,000 years ago on Christmas Day. We receive Christ as a propitiation for our sins through faith. And so to those who believe in Jesus Christ, who put their faith in him, who trust that he died for them on the cross, that he took God's wrath upon him, to them he gives life. And this brings us back to the first truth that we found in these two verses. And that first truth is that God is love, and he demonstrated his love by sending his son Jesus Christ into the world to die for our sins, that we might live for him. Amen. That's what verse 9 here says. He says that we might live for him, that God manifested his love towards us who are sinners, that by sending Jesus Christ into the world, that we might live through him. But not only that we might live through him, that means having been dead in our sins, we're made alive in Jesus Christ. That's how we live through him, but also that we might live for him in that. And so this means that we can't live, as we think about this verse and the rest of scripture, this means that we can't find life, that we can't find spiritual life, eternal life, or the approval of God, the favor of God, through anything else or anyone else. That Jesus Christ is the only way to God. He's the mediator between us and God. That it's only through him that we have life, and therefore we are to live with him. Now, it doesn't mean that throughout the ages that man hasn't tried to get right with God in his own way, either through by trying to keep the law, self-righteousness, or many different ways that men through the ages have tried to reach heaven apart from God. The reality is, though, that we are not alive apart from Jesus Christ. He is the only way, the truth, and the life, that we might go into the presence of the Father and find his favor. And so God sent his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God's love towards us, demonstrated. And Jesus Christ is the object of God's song of love towards sinners. It is his greatest gift to humanity, to each one of us who believe. And so this leads me here to ask, as we think about these two truths from this passage, and we think about God's song of love, this leads me to ask, what is the proper response to the Son of God who saves you from your sins? To the proper response to the fact that God the Father sent his only Son into the world to put on flesh, to live a sinless, perfect life, to die on the cross, to take God's wrath upon him. And remember that the angel proclaimed that today is born to you this day in the city of David. Who? Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so he's not just a Savior, he is Lord. And so what is the proper response to what God has done, to his demonstration of love towards us who are sinners? Well, like the wise man, the proper response is to bow the knee and worship him. That is the proper response to Jesus Christ, the Lord. It is to give your life to him so that you might live through him. Because only life is found in Jesus Christ. What is the proper response to the one who is born the Savior, Christ the Lord? It is like Mary to break out in song. It is like Zechariah to sing about God's light to the Gentiles. It is about Simeon to hug the child closely and to rejoice in the fact that his eyes have seen God's salvation. And so our proper response is, as we celebrate Christmas this evening in the service and tomorrow as we gather with family and friends, the only proper response is to worship Jesus Christ, the Lord. And so if you're not a Christian and you're here this evening and you don't know Jesus Christ, that you can turn away from your sin and that you can know him this evening, that all who call upon the Lord shall be saved, Scripture tells us. But dear Christian, if you're here today and your love for God has grown cold, may this be a reminder that God first loved you. Because he loved you, that you can love him and that you can love others. And so let your proper response this evening to worship him with hearts full of praise, knowing that Christ died for you, that he took your sin upon him, and he saved you to the uttermost. Let us pray. Father, we are so grateful that you sang the song of love by sending your son Jesus Christ into the world. And Father, often our response to your son Jesus Christ is one of indifference. Or it may be that we're here tonight and just going through the motions. And so Father, we pray that through the preaching of your word that we have heard, through the power of your spirit, that, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds to the love that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. That, Father, that we would stand amazed by this love, that Christ willingly went to the cross to be a propitiation for our sins, that even though we were helpless and lost, that we were children of wrath and disobedience, even though we were hostile to the very idea of needing a Savior, Father, you loved us so much that you sent us a Savior in Jesus Christ. May we give him all glory and honor and praise this evening, that his name might be magnified and exalted around the world. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.